It's 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Wednesday, July 22nd, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a new vending machine in Seward offers wellness products free of charge. But first, state lawmakers have ordered their professional, nonpartisan auditors to examine the Alaska Board of Fisheries' procedural actions going back to October of 2023. The audit was spurred by concerns about ethics violations, lack of transparency, and failures to follow policymaking procedures defined in state law, state regulations, and the board's own internal policies. Representative Louise Stutes, a Kodiak Republican who has chaired the House Fisheries Committee for the last 8 years, says she's heard from more and more fishery stakeholders across the state.
A common theme that in the eyes of the public is growing more severe each year is the board's adherence to a transparent public process, ethical conduct, as well as its own policies, regulations, and statutes.
Stutes requested the audit through the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. She spoke to the request in committee last week. She pointed to the May decision by the state's acting attorney general, Corey Mills, to overturn 5 regulations the board passed in February. Those regulations would have reduced commercial salmon fishing in some parts of the South Alaska Peninsula, commonly called Area M. On May 15th, Mills ruled the board's votes were improper and voided the changes. Stutes says that's proof the board is not being ethical or transparent in its decision-making process.
Board decisions are consequential, often impacting thousands or tens of thousands of Alaskans within a single action. It is for these reasons that the board's processes and procedures are, by law, transparent, ethical, and with ample opportunity for public comment.
Proponents of the board's Area M decisions, like the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, say the regulations would have also protected some of those salmon bound for the Yukon River and Western Alaska subsistence fishermen. But opponents say the Board of Fisheries violated state ethics laws when they approved the new regulations. Stutes says she consulted with state auditors and requested they focus not on the outcomes of the board's decisions, but the process leading up to them. For example, whether agenda changes or emergency petitions were accepted and considered based on state laws. The legislative committee unanimously approved her request. Chris Curtis, the state's legislative auditor, told the committee her staff did a similar review of the Board of Game about 8 years ago, which has similar processes. And coincidentally, her office recently created a new section focused specifically on audits of this scope.
I believe we'd be able to start this fairly quickly, which is unusual for the Division of Legislative Audit.
Curtis says the audit could be finished by the next legislative session in January. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced an emergency permit hunt for Alaska residents to harvest musk oxen stranded on an island near the Nunavak Island coast. The hunt opens on July 22nd and closes on December 1st. The tiny island, known locally as Pamute Island, is located less than half a mile from the Nunavak Island southern coast and roughly 40 miles from the Kuskokwim Delta mainland. According to the state's emergency order, at least 5 musk oxen are stranded on the island. There is no source of fresh water on the island, forage is limited, and the survival of the musk oxen is unlikely. 1 musk ox may be harvested per person. Resident locking tag fees are waived for the hunt. Hunters can apply for a permit beginning 9 a.m. today, July 22nd, by visiting hunt.alaska.gov. The state has provided a handful of opportunities in recent years to harvest musk oxen stranded on islands or ice floes. Fish and Game opened hunts on islands off the Nunavak coast in 2017 and 2020, and in 2021, residents had the opportunity to harvest musk oxen stranded on late spring ice floes. And finally, opioid overdose reversal kits, lidocaine, and HIV tests are just some of the items you can now get from a vending machine in Seward, but unlike other vending machines, the items in this one are available for free. Seward City officials and the Katuchik Native Tribe unveiled the Community Wellness Vending Machine Wednesday. They hope the vending machine will promote public health and save lives. From far away, it looks like a regular vending machine, one you might expect to be filled with soda or candy bars. But up close, it's clear the new boxy installation outside of the Katuchik Native Tribe building in Seward is something different. It's wrapped in a bright blue design that's adapted from a mural created to honor the tribe's history and culture. Inside are opioid overdose reversal kits, Alka-Seltzer cold and flu medicine, and personal hygiene products, all available for free 24/7, 365 days a year. Speaking to a small group gathered outside the building, to the beat of a drum, Tribal Program Manager Chris Nan Weston says it's more than a machine.
It represents hope, prevention, and compassion in action. Every item inside has the potential to improve life, support family, and strengthen our community. Because health begins with access, healing begins with compassion, and our shared vision is every healthy community begins with people who choose to care for one another.
The vending machine is one of several installed around Alaska through a grant program offered by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Another machine opened this week in Juneau. Kristen Wise, executive assistant to Seward City Manager, says the city and tribe each applied for the program on their own and later joined forces.
We had a loss in our community back in the fall due to an overdose, and there was a lot of community obviously heartbreak around that loss. And so from the perspective of the city, it got brought up in a council meeting that we needed to do something. So we started working with Project.
While Wise talks, tribal employees restock some of the items in the machine. She says that will happen year-round, rain or shine, winter or summer, for at least the next year. The city and the tribe are working with organizations to keep the machine stocked. The city and tribe plan to switch out products depending on what might be needed during different times of the year. There's a big touchscreen on the machine that asks visitors to fill out an anonymous survey that Wise says will help inform what products should be replenished. The survey does not need to be completed for someone to take items. Wise says anonymity is important, and that the location was selected to help ensure the best access possible.
Sometimes there can be barriers, you know, we have a Narcan at City Hall, but someone might just feel weird about coming into the same place that there's a police station to get Narcan, and there's barriers like that.
Narcan is the brand name for naloxone, a nasal spray that can reverse an opioid overdose. Seward's Community Wellness Vending Machine is located at 221 3rd Avenue near the Seward Children's Museum. There are no fees, identification requirements, or eligibility restrictions to use it. The succinct ceremony concludes with the unveiling. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Davis Hovey in Kodiak and from Evan Erickson in Bethel. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.